Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms and Psalm 119? Psalm 119, and as the Lord would help us this evening, we might consider together verse 37. Psalm 119 at verse 37, where we read, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. This psalm celebrates the word of God, the God whose word it is, and his wonderful communication and revelation of himself in the scriptures. And the believer loves the word of God. And a believer loves the word of God because it is God's word. We have perhaps letters that loved ones have sent us. Because we love them, we love the letters that they send. Well, that's true of God. We love God and we love, therefore, his word. We love God's word because of its character. It's pure. It encourages holiness. It never does us any wrong. We love it because of the blessings it brings. There are many blessings referred to in this psalm. One is liberty, verse 45. "I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Well, there's no bondage in keeping the commandments of God. Well, that's what the world says. You people are enslaved. Enslaved to a book. We've got freedom to do what we want. But don't we know that the way of sin, the way of doing your own thing, is bondage. Our true freedom is to be found in doing the will of God, following the Maker's instructions. We are free from sin and the sinful demands of men. We're liberated to follow the Lord as we're under the influence of his word. Let's remember then, it is, as James puts it in his epistle, the law of liberty. And let us never think for a moment there's anything but liberty provided in the commandments of God and in the word of God. Another thing it brings is light. Even that is verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my feet, a lamp to my path." You think of how the word shows us the way in which we should live. We have many situations in life where we might wonder what to do. Well, God's word is that word which directs us. The only rule to direct us, how we may glorify and enjoy him. You think of how people today have so many questions about life, and there are so many perplexing difficulties that they make for themselves because they've abandoned the word of God and the commandments of God. It's the light to our path. And when people try and make their own light and make up their own rules, all they do is tie themselves in petty rules and regulations because they've abandoned the truth of God. It's a light to our path. We love the law because of that. But a third reason that we love the word of God is because it brings life. Liberty, light, and life. And that's what the psalmist refers to here in verse 37. "Quicken thou me in thy way." Quicken. It's the same idea that you find in the New Testament, where Paul speaks of being quickened, those who were dead being made alive and quickened, being renewed, and of how, though the outward man may perish, the inward man is renewed from day to day. quicken me, enliven me in thy way. And friend, is that not something you often pray for? You want more spiritual vitality and life. And how often therefore do you pray, Lord, enliven me, give me a spiritual liveliness. I know I need this. Grant me thy help. Then notice three things as we consider the verse then. First of all, the desire for life in the soul. The desire for life in the soul. And when you consider this, is it not true that it is a common desire? It's a common desire. Now the hypocrite, that is the person who has no true spiritual life, who is satisfied just with an outward shell and veneer of religion, that person has no spiritual life. It's just an empty shell. And they're satisfied with outward things. Are going through the motions. The doing of certain things. And whether it's in ritualistic Christianity or even where you have reformed, God-centered biblical Christianity, we're aware, it's very easy for anyone to be satisfied with just the going through the motions. They will never say, quicken thou me in thy way, because they're dead in trespasses and sins. They have no life. They are the living dead. But the believer is not like that. And often the believer has a sense of deadness in their own soul. They can experience a sense of deadness. And how often it is that you might be frustrated that there's a lack of life. You wish you were more lively and full of zeal and full of faith. Well, we remember that feeling of deadness is actually a sign of life. Because a person who is dead doesn't feel a thing. Whereas the person who's alive might complain about a lethargy and a tiredness and a struggle. But they feel these things. And that shows that there's life. Perhaps you can look back to a time when you yourself were more spiritually lively than you are now. Or it may be just that what you long for is more zeal, more liveliness, more love for God. You long to experience perhaps what you experienced before or have more of a zeal than what you have now. And that's what the psalmist is praying for here. You find him wanting more life. It's the psalmist, probably David, who wrote this psalm. He's a godly man. The Lord's using him to write scripture. He is praying, quicken thou me in thy word. No, he is writing scripture. And we would consider that as he is writing these psalms, he is someone who is full of love and faith and zeal. But well, what's his prayer? Give me more vitality. Now, we're not necessarily to think that he's in a backslidden condition. That he is someone who has grown cold and careless. Here he is involved in the writing of scripture. And we remember Paul himself as he speaks in Philippians 3 of how he can see that he was longing to know the Lord and the power of his resurrection life in his own soul. Now, he knew these things. There he is, a prisoner in Rome. He is writing a letter to the Philippians. He's involved in various things. We might think that he is full of spiritual zeal and life, but his desire is to press on more. The point is, here's a common desire. Don't you often have that prayer, Lord, quicken me? It's a common desire that God's people have. Oh, for life and more life in my soul. Can't we say it's a key desire? Because we're aware that we need a liveliness in our soul if we are going to profit from God's ordinances. We can read the scriptures and you don't always benefit from your reading of scripture. You read it sometimes and, well, it might be just be like reading something else or just a list of names at times. Sometimes that, it might actually be a list of names, speaks to you and you derive blessing from it. At other times it seems as dry as dust. The problem is your soul rather than the scriptures. We know that we need liveliness to render God's ordinance is profitable, whether we are reading or whether we are praising or whether we are praying. In Psalm 80, we sang, quicken us and we will call upon thy name. I would have more of a spirit of prayer. Lord, if thou wouldst only enliven me and give me more that awareness of need and that perseverance and that liveliness to continue wrestling in prayer and not giving up. Here then is a key desire. We need this desire, don't we? It's only as we are enlivened, our faith and our love and our hope will be an exercise. Don't we often feel we want increased faith, that we might rely on the Lord more, that we might love him more, that the hope of the gospel and the hope of heaven might become more real. We know things, but oh, that they were more than just academic things, that we were gripped by these things and rejoiced in the hope of the glory which is to come. It's a key desire. Because we know that our holiness in very many ways is in proportion to our liveliness. It takes grace to apply the law of God to our lives. And without his help and the Spirit's help in sanctifying us, we will not be holy. Lord, may I know his help that I might indeed be holy in every aspect of my life. So here's this desire. Is this your desire tonight? Surely, dear believer, it is, that the Lord would enliven you and keep you lively and increase that liveliness in your soul. But then notice, secondly, the things which quench life in the soul. The things which quench life in the soul. And there's two things that we can discover have a tendency to quench life in the soul. One thing is focusing on the difficulties and the trials of life. You know what it's like? There are times when you feel overwhelmed with circumstances. And if you're not careful, you can end up with tunnel vision, focused on the problems, and therefore struggling to focus on anything else. Focusing on the problems rather than on God. And you find the psalmist here, for example, verse 25, my soul cleaves unto the dust, he's been brought low. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 25. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. You've got another places like Psalm 143, where the psalmist is in darkness, he's got problems, there are enemies, and he says, O Lord, for thy name's sake, be pleased to quicken me, and for thy truth forth take my soul from misery. So, we might say that in the psalm, there's a context of trials and troubles. We had that in verse 156. Greater thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. So, the context is trials and troubles. And we might think, well, don't trials and troubles actually lead us and bring us closer to the Lord? Tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he hath given us. Romans 5, verses 3 following. But the reality is that often trials do overwhelm us. We can end up weary, we can end up anxious. We can end up having that tunnel vision that we spoke of, focusing on the problem. What happens? We get anxious, agitated about the difficulties that we face, and although there are promises in God's word to encourage us, we end up failing to exercise faith, not resting upon the promises of God. We end up having no hope because we've lost sight of the promises of God when we see the difficulties and the problems. And the more we are failing to exercise faith, the more it can only lead, therefore, to an increased deadness in the soul. Because we're not really looking where we should look. Look at the psalmist. Quicken thou me in thy way. He's aware that, yes, trials can quench the life that is in his soul. And it's only as he rests upon the word of God that he will have peace and confidence, and there will be a liveliness. This is my comfort in my affliction. The word of God and the promises of God. The word had quickened them as he had focused upon the truth. But the thing is that it's not easy to be still and know that God is God in the midst of problems. And often it's only after a struggle that we are able to be still and know that he is God. You know, sometimes we read of the saints, both in the Old and the New Testament, and we might think, well, you know, this difficulty came into their life and they immediately just laid a hold of the truths of God and the promises of God, and that was it. And we fail to realise that often they'd a struggle. And it was a learning process. Paul himself could say, I've learned in whatever state I am in therewith to be content. It was a learning process. It wasn't just an immediate thing. When we find ourselves in trials and troubles, we need to be aware that these things can quench the spiritual liveliness that we long for. And how we need to be in the exercise of faith, laying a hold of the truths of God and the promises of God to keep us lively. There's a second thing mentioned, especially in verse 37, which quenches life in the soul. Focusing on vain things. He says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in thy way. Here's the psalmist then, and he is conscious, as Bunyan would have put it from his holy war, that Eye Gate is a very vulnerable gate to the city of man's soul. And it's very easy for our eyes to focus on the wrong things, to become distracted by things, to be taken up with things, and we find our focus shifting from where it should be to other things. And he speaks of vanities. And I suppose we can see that being a very broad thing. There are many things which are lawful things, but can end up taking the wrong place in our lives. We can end up needing to buy something new. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we get so caught up with the thought about it and thinking about and assessing things and organising it, we end up with ourselves almost mesmerised by these things and the things of God pushed to the side. There's a danger in our focus being taken away from the Lord. Vanity, what might that include? Well, remember how John warns us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he talks about the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And there are things which, as we said, are ordinary, lawful things to engage in. We need these things. We need a home. We need transport. We need other things. But these things can just become the focus. Turn away mine eyes from focusing on these things. Indeed, when you think of it, in many ways, everything without God becomes vanity. And so he's saying, keep me from losing that balance where I end up getting caught up so much in things that it becomes unhelpful to me spiritually. Help me to avoid these things. Help me to keep the focus in God and to seek his glory in all that I do. So in many ways, the psalmist in verse 37 is concerned about just getting distracted. Because he's aware that if he is distracted, that spiritual life in his soul may begin to decay. It reminds you of the parable of the sower, where there was seed that was sown amongst thorns, and they grew up and choked the seed. Now, it's not to say that's the situation with God's people, but there is the tendency of the things of the world to suffocate the spiritual life. People going on and around, all around us going on about just worldly things, and we can get so caught up in these things and lose the balance in life. You think of David, godly David, yet allows his eyes to wander to a Bathsheba. Of how later on he numbers the people. You think of how the disciples were warned to watch and pray. And they were told that in view of the judgments were to come, not to be taken up with just all that was going on in this world. There's a constant danger. Not just focusing on trials, but focusing on vain things. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in thy way. Well, notice thirdly, the strengthening of life in the soul. And when you think of this, notice, it is God who quickens. He says, quicken thou me. So the psalmist is aware he needs the Lord to communicate that life. He alone is the giver of life. And we know that's true. Who brings a new birth to pass? It's the Lord. He's the giver of life. He's the one who renewed you in regeneration. And just as he renews you in regeneration, so the inward man is renewed from day to day. And it's the work of the Spirit of God. It is the Lord who alone quickens us. What does that mean? We need to pray daily that the Lord would keep us lively. And when we complain, when we feel a sense of deadness, let us take our complaints to him. And let us say, acknowledge our deadness and ask him to quicken us and to give us more of that spiritual life. Yes, the outward man's going to perish. The body will soon be done and gone and buried. The inward man is renewed. Renewed by the Spirit of God day by day. Lord, keep me alive. We notice also that God works in holy souls. He says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in thy way. What's he telling us? He's telling us that if we want to experience more of that life, then our life will not be strengthened when the deadening influences are strong. If our focus is on vanity, then we're not going to find ourselves being quickened. The Lord works in those who are seeking after him. And at the end of the day, if the Spirit of God, who's a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit, if he is grieved because we are turning our eyes to the wrong things, he's not going to be at work. In other words, we have to deal with sin. And it's as we pursue holiness, we will find that reviving in our own soul. We need to rouse ourselves, as Paul reminds us in Philippians 2, that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We have work to do. We are to pursue holiness. We are to seek to make use of those things that will give us life and avoid those things that will quench life. God works and holy souls. And notice he works through the means of grace. How does he give life? Well, it's through his word. And it was Stephen who called them the lively oracles of God. They're the life-giving scriptures. When you first came to faith, the Lord communicated life alongside the scripture, you could see. He made them a living word and applied the truth to your soul and brought you to himself. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Well, isn't it true that if you and I would be lively, we need to be more than the scriptures. We need to be more at the throne of grace and prayer. We're thankful for the ordinances of the sacraments as well. The Lord uses these things to enliven us. And the more we are in these things, the more they should be a means by which we are enlivened. These things encourage life. So when we're feeling dead, it's so easy to think, well, what's the point of praying? But we know we're to persevere in prayer looking to the Lord to give us life. We read the scriptures and, well, they're just like reading a list, a telephone directory. But no, we keep on reading until the Lord brings them, makes them alive to us. We persevere. We go back and do the first works. As the church, churches of Revelation were often taught, go back to basics, doing the things which enliven our soul. We stir one another up. That's one of the values of fellowship. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We encourage one another in the word of God. And we find the Lord blessing his word and making it a means of life to our soul. Well, there's no bad thing when we complain about our need of life. Let us beware of what stifles that life. And let us seek to keep close to Christ and look to him to give life day by day to our souls. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, we seek thy blessing on us. We confess that were it not for thee, what deadness there would be in our souls. And we ask that more and more we might experience a liveliness in the things of God. We thank thee for thy word. Lord, we know that thy word is that which will enliven us. And we pray that thou wouldst enable us to so make use of thy truth day by day, that we might be enlivened through thy word. Bless thy truth to us and help us to go on in thy strength, in thy ways. Uphold us and keep us day by day.